My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right, the good news is Ken is in for the tandem bike ride, but he said one caveat, he's got to ride in the middle. So anyway, Ken, it's great to have you here with Ryan Ripken. Having a lot of fun here, although it wasn't fun on Sunday. Let's get into this, of course, with film study, Baltimore.com, checking out. I'm going to be jumping on your podcast today, which I'm looking forward to. Talk to me about Lamar. What did you see from him? How much blame does he deserve for this game as Stephen A. Smith was trying to just pile on him? I didn't understand it. But they do have an issue of closing out games, it appears.
Yeah, so obviously not getting first downs in the fourth quarter, a real bad problem. You look at Lamar's passing, he was on par for his opportunity set. Really what has been his first two games. And what I mean by that is dividing those opportunities into ample time and space where he's got a 3-second pocket, room to step into his throw, ball out quick, and pressure events. And he was right on par with yardage expectations for the three of those. Ran effectively, though a lot of the chunk of that was on the last play. The interception was all on Bateman, of course. We can talk about that if you want, but big trust breaker between the two of them to have that ball go into his arms and right out.
Yeah, I think that's always one thing, for better or for worse, right? The quarterback's going to get some blame. But I'll tell you what, Ken, the conversation that is continuing to grow, the concern is over the Ravens' offensive line. And they lost a lot of key guys. And I know you just had an article out talking about the offensive line play as a whole. And I think the kind of theme was the amount of kind of negative plays. So if you can just walk us through just what you saw. And I think for all fans on Sunday, you saw things, but you got to really dive into what was a problem for this Ravens offensive line.
Yeah, this was a worse game than what they posted at Kansas City. And just going across, Stanley, a C-plus in this game. He would have, and this is block-by-block scoring. I didn't just put my finger in the wind and say C-plus, but he would have had an A without the offensive holding. It was a very odd play, straight-ahead block, no wave for it from the opponent. His mobility looks terrific, like it was before 2020, so at least that's good. I'm not concerned at all about Stanley. Voorhees took a big step back from week one, a D in this game, had an offensive hold, two pressures, a penetration. His technique, if you look at him play, is way ahead of Fa'alele, but on the other hand, the results really aren't any better, and that's a problem. Linderbaum, I think a lot of people, when they look relatively at the line, think he played very well, but didn't really have a great game against the Raiders' interior. One pressure, eight missed blocks in the game. Five of those were losses at the line of scrimmage. Most of those were to Wilkins directly, which is a problem that he's had during his career with some bigger linemen. Fa'alele, an F in this game. He had had a good score with a bad look to him. He's always got a bad look, but he had a good score in his first game. This game, not so much. 10 missed blocks, 2.25 pressures, 1 sack. McCary, a D, another bad game for him. Had a sack and 2.25 pressures also. He had the toughest assignment. He was out there opposite Max Crosby for most of the game. And Rosengarten was the pleasant surprise. Made 17 of 19 blocks. That's not enough for me to give him a grade yet, but with 15 of 17. With three more blocks, he would add an A.
Do you think Voorhees was busy on Friday the 13th? That's why I didn't play so well. Sorry, I had to throw that one in there. Well, let me ask you about this, because with the offensive line and some of the things we've seen, is it more Is it issues with, in both facets, running and passing, or is it just more passing?
It's both. They've had problems blocking up run plays well. They particularly in that first half, they didn't do a good job blocking for the run at all. And it was in the second half. I mean, they went in the second half with 11 yards rushing, and then they piled up about 140 in the second half. So they put some things together well there. They're not making pulls right now like Ravens teams of old, and that's on Voorhees and Fa'alele right now as the primary guys. That would be my biggest problem with the run game. With passing, it's broad. The problems are broad, and you know, entire additional discussion required.
So then, as you just mentioned, it's both. It's passing, it's running, but specifically, at least another talking point has been, you know, hey, you got Derrick Henry, and they did see have moments, and people were wondering if the Ravens being committed enough to the run. I think that there was that commitment in the second half, specifically to start, but. Your kind of take then, I think there was more to the story here, and for this offense to maybe take some pressure off was maybe how it finished, Ken. Can you kind of touch on how you feel with that commitment?
I mean, they brought Derrick Henry in to finish games, and he didn't get it done in this game, not necessarily because of his running, because of two false starts. So he took him from second and one to second and six, from third and one to third and six, which is one of the biggest plays of the game that is not being talked about. The other penalty, you know, obviously the DPI in the end zone, people. But if they'd gotten the first down on the play with Henry on third and one, would have been, you know, had a much higher chance of winning that football game. And, you know, he ran fine in the second half. That wasn't really the problem. I thought after the first half, the Ravens' streak was going to end of the 100-yard games they've had consecutively. But, you know, they ran the ball effectively in the second half. That wasn't an issue. And I think, you know, hopefully we'll see something from Henry where he really plays less in the first half. And in the second half, he comes in against a tired defense. I think that's a natural kind of evolution for his career. He won't have as many snaps here in Baltimore, but if he's going to run the ball 250 times, which would be only a slight reduction from what he was doing at the end in Tennessee, then closing out games is where they really need him.
How much of, like, we've talked about penalties, and a lot of times coaches get blame and they get accolades for things that I'm not sure should necessarily go to them. But at the same extent, a lot of people think if you have penalties in a game, that falls on the coaching staff. And this is unlike any Ravens team that I've seen. They're not usually the, like I was saying about the Raiders, when they come to town, it's like the Raiders are usually the ones that have issues with penalties. What did you think about Sunday and all the penalties they had?
I mean, obviously the penalty total was one of the deciding factors in the game. And they had four just, I think, awful calls. The Stanley holding, the board, unnecessary roughness, complete phantom call. I can't figure out who they're calling on, if they called the wrong player, what it might be. Stevens in the end zone with the DPI and the Matabike face mask. All, you know, very poor calls. But there was other penalties that hurt them as well. And that included these two false starts by Henry. So
those were huge.
Yeah, they were just enormous. So
especially on third down, right? I mean, yep. It changes everything up.
Changes everything.
All right, so we're going to step out. We'll come back. Ryan Ripken, Jeremy Kahn, Ken McCusick. We'll go more on this game. We got to get the special teams, what the defense looked like. All this and more, it's all coming up here on the Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. All right, welcome back. Second segment with Ken McCusick, FilmStudyBaltimore.com, Ryan Ripken, Jeremy Kahn. Rob Long and Ed Norris are off this week, so a lot of football to talk. Ryan, you want to kick it off with some special teams, right?
Yeah, why don't we keep it rolling? I know I actually tried to do this analogy. We talked earlier about baseball, Ken, and people want to look at pitching and hitting in baseball, but then they forget about defense. Mm-hmm. And then for football, it's always about how the offense is playing and defense. And yes, those are two big parts of it, but so is the special teams game in a unit, Ken, that usually people expect success from the Ravens special team. Yesterday wasn't maybe the day, specifically from punting to kicking. Can you just elaborate on what you kind of saw there? And I know Harbaugh even touched on that with Stout.
Yeah, so Stout shanked the punt that basically set up the game-winning field goal drive. 24-yard punt, and then a 5-yard penalty tacked on for Holman for being out of bounds. It was, you know, a minor yet very annoying issue in the game. There's another issue going on with Stout, because obviously he hasn't had a great season punting the ball, but he's still, I think, a worthwhile punter. There's really a big question about him as a holder at this point. And Tucker has never had these problems in his career before that he's had since Stout arrived, where he's just 8 points above expected 2 years ago, 3.5 points last year, and this year he'd be in the negatives. And the question I would have is this. They've obviously tremendously overcommitted to personnel required for the kickoff. In fact, they've lost 3 yards relative to just kicking the ball in the end zone every time. And you know, they spent all this time this summer working on that. A question I would have legitimately is, could you carry one less special teams player and have Cook brought back as a holder, Hall of Fame holder, the greatest that's ever played the game? He and Tucker know each other, like, you know.
You don't think they'd use a roster spot for that, though, do you?
Well, I mean,
it's probably needed.
Do I think they would do it? No, absolutely not. But do I think it's a good idea? I think it's worth considering. I mean, I think that the points you lose from Stout holding relative to what we've seen is very significant.
People are going to overlook that, but the thing I would say to you about it too is, like, I mean, some teams used to have kickers just for kickoffs. They weren't their field goal kickers.
That's true. And
some teams were lucky, like Pat McAfee did it for the Colts, but he was their punter. But there were other teams that just brought in a kickoff specialist. So I get it from that standpoint. Just to piggyback off of what he's talking about, I talked to someone that said, with Justin Tucker and the 50-yard field goals, I think a lot's being made of, I mean, he's getting older, he's going to miss some, but some of those field goals were really long, like 56, 58. But there was somebody that pointed out and told me that he's doing a little bit of a crow hop on some of the longer ones, which makes them think that he doesn't have it in his leg anymore. But then they talked before the game, he had a 70-yard bomb
in practice.
So what do you think about Justin Tucker?
I think part of the problem with Tucker's decline may be age-related. So you've got to look at that. But it's been such a sharp decline that I think it's probably worthwhile to try and figure it out. There's almost nothing you can do in football that'll change your expectation by 10 points in a season. I mean, it's very hard to find even a single player who would have that impact on your roster. And to find somebody on the margin of the roster who might, you take that shot. I mean, it's worth it. From an analytics perspective, I can't understand why they wouldn't.
Well, I think then, special teams, obviously, the Ravens were used to it, and John Harbaugh's background as being a special teams coach, so you always expect that. Another thing in Ravens history, the defense has always been something, but there's been some changes, Ken. Obviously, Patrick Queen is no longer here, and we saw in the first game with Kansas City, some of the linebackers were a little bit exposed, but there are some real positives, specifically with Trenton Simpson. How would you discuss kind of how the linebacking position played out here against the Raiders?
Okay, so there was one major change between week one and week two is they took Harrison off the field at inside linebacker, just had him playing outside linebacker. That, I think, is the right change for Malik at this point. He's a guy who's reshaped his body to be an outside linebacker, good run defender, decent Sam linebacker in terms of his ability to drop, but he's never going to be cover. He's never going to give you in coverage what you want as an inside linebacker, and he's also losing something as a tackler in the open field. He's missed two open field tackles, one of each of the last 2 weeks. So, I think that was a good change. They leaned more on Simpson for a more specific role in that case. They also didn't use the dime back at all, which they'd used three times in week one. So they had him on the field basically for every play. And I think that was a change. If I'm looking at other components of the defense, though, in particular, I think Zach Orr had a lot of trouble adapting in each of the 2 weeks to something. The first week it was, how do we get the Chiefs off their bunch formation bent? That they continually were beating the Ravens with bunch formation and rubs and picks off that. And the second one, it was about, how do you stop two particular receivers? Now, when the other team only really has a couple options that are doing anything in Bowers and Adams, there are gimmick coverages you can start to run. You can rob. You can do all sorts of things from safety to try and take away those routes, alternate on it and whatever. I thought that was something probably should have been done in this game. And they wrote it out. Don't have a long window in which to change, but I thought it's something they could have done.
I want to make sure I bring it up. Something that you wrote up here is the panic button. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have it, 0-2, and people keep giving it. The thing I said the other day is they're giving out the record of teams that went 0-2 and didn't make the playoffs, but forgetting that the playoffs just got expanded. So two teams in recent history have done that. Ironically, in the AFC, one was Cincinnati. I don't remember who the other one was. Maybe Joe can yell it out if he does. Houston was the other one. How do you feel about the panic button right now?
Well, I think this team is a lot better than that. I think you look at the AFC North, it's not a particularly difficult division. It's a team with a division with a bunch of flawed teams. I think, the Ravens are healthy right now. This is not an 0-2 team that got here because their quarterback went down or because anything else. So you got that. That's I think, a good thing. The offsetting problem to this is the Ravens still have a very tough schedule to face the next few weeks, and they could be in too deep a hole before they really have a chance to dig out. And if you believe the offensive line is going to gel and improve together, that would be the place where it might not work out. So it's a team with one very serious problem right now. The offensive line is not good, And they may be able to figure out, and they may not be able to do, but this tough stretch is coming at a bad time.
Yeah, and especially Dallas, Buffalo, Cincinnati, the next upcoming games. But if it's not panic here, at least we'll say frustration. We talked about the offensive line. If there was a frustration besides that Max Crosby had his way at some moments, on the offensive side for Vegas, it was don't let Davante Adams beat you. Mm-hmm. And then also then Brock Bowers, who is a talented stud. I think he's going to be a top tight end here. But I think that had to be one of the most frustrating elements for Baltimore on Sunday, as those guys game wrecked this Baltimore defense.
Right. Well, that's exactly what I mentioned, is that they really needed to come up with a way to stop those two guys. And they don't have to stop all them on every play, but you have to have something you can run as a gimmick coverage where you drop down and you take away a route from one of those two. And it's something that is an in-game adjustment that's required. And I think if you want to look at Orr relative to McDonald, I think this is a place where Orr is behind McDonald. But that said, McDonald's second game as a defensive coordinator was the Miami game 2 years ago that was the biggest the biggest blown game in team history. So it's I'm not leaning on him too hard. I think there's still a chance that he grows into this role. It's just a little frustrating that in each of the first two games there's been something he hasn't caught up on.
Yeah, I like though that he's taken ownership. Like people always say, well, one of my biggest gripes with Harbaugh is different when they win, different when they lose. But like I just want guys to take ownership when they're wrong. It's okay to admit you're wrong. And some people say, well, when coaches start doing that, then they get questioned and other. So maybe I'm in a bit of the gray area here. But or after game one, admitted to the timeouts being his fault that they ended up using and some of the other things, not making adjustments. I mean, we saw Rashee Rice was kind of getting matched up on Roquan quite a bit. But before we run, and I do want to get you to pub the podcast and everything that's coming up. Any thoughts just going into Dallas? Do you have concerns? Would you have less concerns if Dallas just hadn't got their ass beat?
No, I have less concerns because Dallas got their ass beat at home.
Yeah, okay.
I do have less concerns because of that. They look very mortal in terms of who they are. So the Ravens will go down there. I'm looking forward to the game still.
The only thing I'd say, though, is like they made this Raiders team one-dimensional and it didn't work out. Dallas can't run the football. They're going to be one-dimensional. So I just hope we don't see the second half that we saw here, if you get what I'm saying.
We should see Big Nickel pretty much the whole way. It's a place where you definitely don't need to overcommit to the run, and I don't think they will in this game.
You want to tell everybody about the podcast, where they can find you?
Sure. Film Study, Baltimore Ravens Talk on all your podcast platforms, and it's filmstudybaltimore.com. If you want to go see offensive line scoring, there's an article out there, and all kinds of articles about the defense that go into a lot more detail than we talked about here.
Yeah, you and I will be recording today. We're going to be talking some offense, or sometimes lack thereof. we'll get into that. Ken, thanks so much. Ryan, we've got shovels coming up next. I'll kind of give you an idea, like, what shovels and what we do, and I'll tease mine. I'm going to talk about the guy that has the worst luck when it comes to fantasy football because his team is done after week two. And I mean done. I'll tell you why when we come back. Shovels right here on The Fan.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The biggest idiots deserve the big, bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota.
And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com.
105.7 The Fan.
All right, here we go. It's time for shovels. Ryan Ripken, Jeremy Kahn here with you. Rob Long, Ed Norris are off. If you want to give a shovel, 410-583-1057. Ryan, who's getting your shovel?
It's the Carolina Panthers. I mean, for a lot of reasons here, right? So that if you guys didn't see the news, Bryce Young is being benched after two games into his second season in the NFL with a brand new head coach. But this is where I'm just scratching my head here of going, all right, you had your head coach last year, Frank Wright, who didn't want Bryce Young, so then you fire that said coach after hoping he'd be the future. Then you bring in a new coach that is supposed to help your young quarterback, and after two games you're going, yep, we're done. Oh, no, he's still our quarterback of the future. No, he's not. If you're making this move, he is not, and I just feel bad. I don't know what's going on in Carolina in general, because not even looking at Bryce Young, if you want to resurrect your career, you leave Carolina. Sam Darnold was left to die there. Same with Baker Mayfield. Sam Darnold now has the Vikings at 2-0. Baker Mayfield signed that nice contract. He's a franchise quarterback again. I think it's needless to say they need a little bit of a shakeup there. But
doesn't this feel like it has ownership written all over it, especially with what the owner did here previously, actually stopping off at someone's restaurant that had a sign out front to kind of besmirch them for writing something negative about him, and then on top of it, firing a coach to hire a coach like that. He was paying multiple coaches. It seems like he just has so many knee-jerk reactions. I don't have any inside information. That's what it feels like.
Oh, I mean, definitely. And also, by the way, you still have another pick you got to give up this year, a second round pick, I believe, in the Bryce Young deal. You traded away a first to get Bryce Young and the best wide receiver you guys have had in DJ Moore in some time. Tell you what, the only news that's being is that the Carolina Panthers are a brutal football team and that their owner is throwing drinks at. You know what? They might need a couple more drinks. It's going to be a rough go for Carolina.
It's going to be a real rough year. Well, my shovel is going to go to this fantasy football owner. This poor guy. So I have his lineup from week one. Now, obviously, you're not going to lose a defense, right? Mm-hmm. He has the Saints defense. Might be the best thing he ever did was drafting that group. His quarterback, Jordan Love. Running backs, Raheem Mostert, Kenneth Walker. His wide receivers, A.J. Brown, didn't play last night. Deebo Samuel is going to be out for a few weeks, it appears. David Njoku was injured this week, not playing. Cooper Kupp might be out for an extended period of time. And then he even drafted Graham Gano, the kicker who got hurt for the Giants in the first quarter. All of his starters are gone. Now, if you feel like you've been snake bitten, that's got to be one. And somebody had written like, well, wait a minute. Looking at this team, who did he draft first? I don't know who he drafted first. I mean, it may have been a turn there with A.J. Brown and Kenneth Walker or A.J. Brown and Cooper Kupp and then come back and get your running backs. But again, to have all of your guys hurt is just awful.
Yeah, I just counted for it. Eight guys out. And those are some brutal injuries. I don't know what it was this year. It just feels like there's a lot more in the first couple weeks. But, man, saying that your season's over, we all like to overreact after losing week one in fantasy football and maybe week two. This guy, I think, has a fair assessment. Who's he going to go get? Who's out there right now? Saints defense might take him home, though. They're kind of on fire.
It's weird, too, to look at everything after week two in the NFL, as we were talking about earlier. Everybody thought it was a foregone conclusion that the Falcons were going to run away with the South and the NFC. And here come the Saints looking like the best team in football. I don't know what the hell's going on there. Everyone's talking about Clint Kubiak, the offensive coordinator there, saying he's just putting on a clinic of setting up plays against opposing teams. And then you brought up the Bucks. I said this, whether people want to buy into this or not, and you can call it sour grapes for me. The Bucks had no business winning the game this weekend. The Lions controlled the time of possession 2-1. The Lions ran 40 some more plays than the Bucks. The Lions just happened to go 1-for-7 in the red zone, which is just awful. You got to put up points when you're down there, and they came away with nothing way too many times. And now the Lions, you know, it's two home games. You lost to an opponent that you shouldn't have lost to at home. So it's like, who's good so far in this league? Because the NFC, the NFC East, I'm looking at it going, I don't know. It's like, yeah. I mean, Dallas lost, Philadelphia lost. I had concerns over Philadelphia's defense. I had concerns over Dallas being a one-dimensional team. And a lot of people were like, nope, did you see what they did in week one? I was like, yeah, they beat up a Browns team who didn't look very good. And then the Browns go on the road to beat Jacksonville, and Jacksonville's now lost 7 in a row going back to last year.
Isn't sports fun?
Yeah.
So it's not just in Baltimore, right? It's not just that. Except, again, everyone can kind of rebound except Carolina. And unfortunately, Bryce Young. I just feel bad for Bryce Young, man. That's just, he looks like a kid with a deer in the headlights right now. All confidence. And it was just a couple years ago talking about how talented he was at Alabama. And here he is just absolutely getting rocked around and now sitting on the pine.
I mean, if that's, well, first off, they should have protected him more with a better offensive line. I don't know how many teams are going to learn to, like, they're going to do this where they draft a quarterback so high and you have an awful offensive line. I don't know if David Carr would have been David. Yeah. I always do the same thing with these. I do it every time I say the wrong name. David Carr, what he would have looked like with the Houston Texans if he hadn't been shell-shocked. I still wonder what Tim Couch would have looked like with the Browns. He was amazing at Kentucky. And to see what he could have been had they not allowed him to get sacked 60 times a year. And then you start to get that hitch in your giddy-up where it's like, are you gun-shy? Are you looking around? Are you hearing footsteps? And we've talked about this before. What's more fragile, a young pitcher's mind or a young quarterback's mind? And I feel like you can go in any direction you want. It may depend on the circumstances, what you're surrounded with. But this is not like, if you watch Bryce Young, I don't know what he was doing on the one play where he got sacked. No. He ran out of, he's pointing at a guy, and as he's looking downfield, it looked like Bobby Boucher coming out of the backfield there, and a guy just destroys him. I don't know what he said about his mama, but it's got to be better than that. And this owner, if it is in fact him, with these knee-jerk reactions of like, you traded away everything to get this guy, and now you want to bench him after 1 year and two games? Come on, man.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe he said the water sucks to Bobby Boucher, by the way. Maybe that was it, but man, it just, when it rains, it pours. Talking about feeling bad for fans, Carolina Panther fans, I feel bad. I feel terrible for you. And a little fun note here, by the way. I think rookie quarterbacks, just side note, a lot of them are playing maybe earlier than they need to. And so far this season, Jeremy, no rookie quarterback has thrown a touchdown pass through the first 2 weeks.
That's why the one thing that made me laugh is that J.J. McCarthy tied for the league in touchdown passes with all other rookies because he's out for the year, and nobody's thrown one, which is insane. I thought Bo Nix was going to be a turd. We have to see what Drake May looks like when he finally gets in and gets an opportunity with the Patriots. But they look a little better than I thought. So, I don't know. Maybe we got to reevaluate how we're evaluating these teams sometimes coming into the season. Like, oh, that team's going to be terrible, and then all of a sudden they show you they've got a pulse and they care about playing. And I like the fact that the Patriots players are playing for Gerard Mayo and they don't have a lot of what I would deem to be talent or blue chip players on that team. But it's kind of cool to see, even though I don't like the Patriots. But all right, we've got who do we got coming up next? Bordy? You just want to blow him off? Do you want Mike Bordick on the show? Wasn't he bad-mouthing me last time? He took a couple shots.
Probably
me,
was. That's how Bordy goes. Right. Checks out.
Actually, you know what? No, he took shots at Rob, so he definitely gets a comeback on. Mike Bordick joins us next. We'll talk some baseball with him right here on The Fan. All right, welcome back. Jeremy Kahn, Ryan Ripken. We're going to welcome in Mike Bordick here as Rob Long and Ed Norris are out. It's the Big Bad Morning Show. Bordy, how are you, man?
Good morning. I'm good. Did you say Ryan Ripken?
Yeah, Bordy. We got a spot open for you. Where are you at?
Sitting on my couch having a coffee, man. Sorry. Oh, I want to come in.
He's Thanks eating pickled Bulls balls right now is what he's doing.
I am.
Hey, Bordy, so let's dive into it with baseball. The Orioles get a series going up against the Giants today. I just took a peek at my algorithm, and Blake Snell grades out as the number one pitcher today. Obviously, power lefty. This team has struggled a little bit with lefties. What do you make of this Giants series and starting off with Blake Snell and finishing with Logan Webb?
Yeah, this ain't going to be easy, I'll tell you that. I mean, Giants have a really good starting rotation, and Snell has just seems like he's found his home. I mean, he's really settled in and become that Cy Young-type pitcher again. So the challenges continue, you know, for the Orioles and their offense. You know, they got to find a way to battle against these top arms and find a way to make marks early. I think especially at home, they got to put the first mark on the board. They play their best when they score first. And I think it just helps kind of instill a little confidence. And that's what it seems like they're lacking right now. Something's got to get the ball rolling for this team offensively.
Well, and Bordy, maybe this would be, you are the right person to talk about this with. And Jeremy and I have talked about it earlier. Hitting and pitching is going to come and go, right? Those are the two, you know, elements of the game. Now, the Orioles have had longer lulls, maybe, or stretches hitting and executing in situations. But the one thing constantly that hasn't been consistent is actually the defense. And could you just touch a little bit on that? Because I know it hurts not having Jordan Westberg and Ramon Urias and Jorge Mateo, but just touch on how the defense in moments like now needs to really be the staple for the Orioles, and clearly it hasn't been.
Yeah, I think anytime, you know, postseason stuff gets analyzed, the defense always kind of takes the lead. You better be able to catch the ball and make outs. We see time and time again throughout the regular season that extra opportunities to any major league team is going to hurt you, whether you walk too many guys or make errors or just make, you know, mistakes out in the field and give teams extra opportunities. They just capitalize on it. It's inevitable. And I think the Orioles have just been just obviously inconsistent in that regard and just given too many chances for the opposing team. You know, you think about the importance of obviously trying to play as clean as you possibly can, but the impact that mistakes have not only on your own personal record and your team, but now your pitcher's got to throw more pitches, you know. Now there's just Brandon Hyde's pulling out more hair. You know, there's just a lot of things that come into play when you can't take advantage of those opportunities. So catching the ball obviously becomes paramount. And I think you're seeing it without even, you know, Brandon Hyde saying much, that there are some guys out there right now that he just doesn't trust yet. And because they haven't had enough time to really get their big league legs under them. And this is the kind of conundrum I think that this team is facing right now. They're very young. They've got Mayo, you know, they've got Holiday out there, two very young players. Even Gunnar Henderson is young. I know he's got a little more experience than those guys, but young to play major league shortstop. And, you know, I think Brandon Hyde saying, I just can't take those chances right now. So, you know, he's put Soto in there and Rivera and hoping and keeping his fingers crossed that Westberg, you know, and Urias can come back and kind of solidify the infield. Because I know it's sad to say, I think we got to try to, you know, there's two ways to look at this. Obviously, hey, you got to keep your young guys in there and let them play through this. But we're trying to make it to the World Series. We're trying to be a, you know, hoist the trophy. So it comes down to just who is the most capable player, right? You can't worry about kids' feelings right now. You got to play to win, and you got to put your best team in there. And I think you're seeing that with, you know, Holiday not playing as much here recently and Mayo as well.
Hey, talking to Mike Bordick here on the Big Bad Morning Show. One of the other things to bring up to you is, like, getting into the postseason, does that feel like a reset? Like, if you were struggling in September, is it something where you can just kind of, I don't want to say flip the switch, but kind of like that, maybe it alleviates some of that stress? Like, hey, look, regular season's over. Everyone's 0-0. This is where we can you do that as a baseball player?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's unbelievable. I mean, you know, you see players do it through, they grind through spring training and go through the boredom and the tediousness of spring training, get fired up for the regular season. And the regular season is so dang long that, you know, when 162 finally get there, guys are saying, oh, thank God that's over, because it's such a grind. And you go through the mental roller coasters up and down, and then all of a sudden there's just a whole new refreshness. Everybody starts out 0-0. Yeah, there are some teams that are favored, but I think every one of these guys will be able to take a nice deep breath. Listen, the hope is that they can kind of rally here and win the East, because I think this year more than ever, a little extra break will help this team. But either way, get in, and I think they'll all take a collective sigh of relief, and let's go. Boys, this is what we're here for. Let's strap it on and play some hardball.
Yeah, and we saw it the last years, and really it's just a tale as old as time, it feels, since the normal playoff format for the wild card came into fruition, where you get hot at the right time and you're playing your best ball, you can go on runs. We've seen it. Now, hopefully, you can have some of those big pieces. Bordy, I wanted to ask you about one of those pieces, and it's Jordan Westberg. You know, Westy's now is building up. They say he can start in all of his hitting activities, and Jeremy and I discussed on it earlier this morning. You know, he's up against the clock to get reps before playing again, and Norfolk's schedule ends on the 22nd. For you, would there be a concern if Westy isn't able to get some normal ABs before inserting into the lineup, or do you think he's a guy that can just roll with the punches here? Because the Orioles, I'll tell you what, they've missed his presence with two-out situations really in any facet of the game.
Oh, you got that right. I mean, talk about a clutch player. Holy cow. And thank goodness he was recognized in the All-Star game for that. So, yeah, he's a tremendous player, very solid, consistent defensively, gives you those quality at-bats. And as far as the could he be rushed? I think technology nowadays, Ryan, kind of benefits the player, the injured player especially, because I think now they still have the ability to go in there and actually stand in and see pitchers. I think they have that technology in their in their clubhouse now, where they can face pitchers and see the pitches, see the spins, and kind of keep that timing. Now, as far as the explosive swing, that's got to come from him in a healthy hand, right? So when all that stuff is able to let go, I feel like his timing should be closer nowadays, because they have this new kind of technology. And I think defensively, too, he's been able to get the work in and keep his legs fresh. So I would be surprised if he didn't come back and contribute right away. I really would. I know he's been away for a little while, but I just think if there's anybody that wants to take advantage of every possible utility to make himself ready to go here at the end, I think it would be him. I think he's taken every possible chance that he can get on the field to his benefit, and I think he's going to be ready, and I'm excited about seeing him back.
Ryan, would you say Bordy's the best shortstop you've ever seen play?
Yes. You know what I'll say?
Are you and your dad having a riff again?
And that's every other day. You know, he's dad or Calvin, depending on the day, Bordy. I'll tell you what, though, no one's a better softball manager than Mike Bordy.
Oh, man.
As well. Undefeated.
I watched him win a home run derby against a bunch of teachers, though.
I know. Yeah. No, softball's fun. That is definitely my sport now. And Ryan, I can't believe you said that. I got on you a little bit in that softball game about, you know, your uniform. But thanks for saying that I could be a good softball coach.
Well, I was just trying to emulate. I had some high shorts on, but I had to tuck in because my manager, Mike Bordick, had everything tucked in. I had.
Are you talking about body parts or shirts? Because I was going to say, hey, congratulations, man.
Both. Sure. You know what? But we had a good time. And, you know what? Bordy, you were great. Now, here I'm all flustered. I'm never coming back.
It's all right.
I know. It's so hard, isn't it?
Bordy, he'll be back tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Hey, Mike, thank you for your time so much, man. When do we hear you next?
I'm on tonight.
Oh, look
I'm
at you.
I'm going down, man. I'm back on. I can't believe it. I'm
finally
so
back to work, man.
Yeah.
Get a job, Bordy. Hey, man, thanks.
I hear you, brother.
Hey, enjoy the games, man, and we'll be talking to you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I love Mike Bordick. He's so great. I didn't mean to put you on the spot with the shortstop talk, you know. Anyway.
Oh, no. I mean, it's great. That's the thing. I think people forget. I understand how good Calvin did, but I can't tell him that all the time,
right? Yeah.
That's great. And you know what? Mike Bordick, I'm glad you brought it up. Boardy was a guy at shortstop. I think people forget how long he played in the MLB. And teaching the game, getting to work with him, truly one of the best to work with. And you know what, Calvin, if you don't like it, play better, you know?
Boardy never got moved to third. No, I'm hey, whoa, I didn't say that. Hey, all right, coming up, final hour of the program. Look at this, Ryan, it just flies by when you're doing mornings. We're going to talk about which team are you more worried about, Ravens or Orioles right now? We're going to take some calls on it as well, 410-583-1057.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.